Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue football had a big weekend in recruiting, pulling in a third grad transfer in the 2021 class, an offensive lineman, and two other high school commitments, and that follows a grad transfer quarterback last week. We discussed that, plus break down the NFL draft and more on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart here in just a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, let's talk a little bit of recruiting. It was a big week last week. We'll try to keep this to the ESPN2 version of the podcast rather than the explicit-laced ESPN version. You can find that elsewhere where you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Let's talk first with the grad transfers and the most recent one being Greg Long from UTEP, the offensive tackle, a guy who's had some injuries during his career, but has played and started and played well, it seems like, when he has been healthy, and clearly, you know, fills an area that we've talked a lot about over the last, I don't know, year or a decade. On Purdue's offensive line, that it certainly could, you know, use some more bodies.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I think Greg Long clearly comes with a little bit of an element of risk here. He's been injured three different times in his UTEP career, missed basically two full seasons, missed the end of this past season. Where he stood on Purdue's hierarchy of priorities for that graduate transfer offensive line help, I have no idea, but he visited back in the winter, I think before TJ Stormont committed for those glorious 48 hours. I don't know if I have my timeline straight there entirely, but I'm pretty sure that Long visited. I think Stormont was committed before Greg Long visited, now that I think about it, because Purdue beat Wisconsin at home before they lost at Michigan. This has gone off the rails. Okay, I don't know what the timeline was. I don't know necessarily what Purdue's priority list at offensive line was, but obviously they had to have somebody. Obviously came up with somebody in Greg Long. They will obviously hope for the best. They will hope that an all-conference freshman year, an all-freshman all-conference year, I should say. There is a difference. At UTEP is kind of what they're going to get in him, plus a couple years of improvement from there on out if he can stay healthy. That's obviously the big if. But this was an important get because you have Grant Hermans, you have Will Bramel, you have Eric Miller coming back at offensive tackle. The two young guys have to get better, obviously. This gives you a little more depth, a little more options in the best-case scenario, perhaps gives you a little bit of flexibility to move some guys around. If you wanted to move Will Bramel inside or something like that, I don't know if that's on the table or not. But, you know, obviously Purdue has been in this position every year for years where you have been looking for an offensive lineman on the graduate transfer wire to come in and help you right away. And I think this year it was especially important.
Look, we'll forgive you on the timeline. It's 2020. I don't think anybody is exactly sure of the timeline of anything. Let's talk some other grad transfers. UCLA quarterback, former Bruin, Austin Burton, committed to Purdue last week. At the very least, gives Purdue some depth at that position where you basically have, you know, of guys that at least you know a little bit about, two guys, one of whom was a former walk-on. I mean, is there a chance that Burton will be a late arrival, I guess, you know, for a quarterback especially? Does he have a chance to compete there with Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell?
Well, that's obviously dependent on circumstance. I mean, obviously this is going to be the most uncommon offseason probably in college football history, and it is hard enough to graduate from somewhere in July and then enroll somewhere else in August and learn an offense as a quarterback in time for September. Be necessarily that time on campus around your teammates. There won't be that he obviously wouldn't have had spring ball either way if he needed to stay at UCLA until July to graduate. And I don't even know if he does. Maybe he can finish up online. We don't know. Tom spoke to him last week. I don't remember what the story said. But he won't have that opportunity to be around his team as much. We don't even know when football teams are coming together. So he is obviously going to be way behind from a learning curve perspective. Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell both not only have playing experience, but they have experience in Purdue's program. They've both been here for a couple years now. So he's going to be behind in that sense. Obviously, I don't think Purdue took Austin Burton saying, hey, you are our starter. I don't think any promises were being made. I think all they told him was you will have a chance to come in and compete. At the very least, this is a guy you have for 2 years who can give you some more options at quarterback. God knows, nobody knows better in college football than Purdue how often you need your options at quarterback, because the quarterback at Purdue has become more often than probably any other school in college football the last decade or so. But at the very least, you have a guy who gives you another option. You have a guy who increases the competition level when there was already competition, and you probably have a guy who maybe gives you a little bit of a different element. I think Purdue is a little more mobile at quarterback in terms of maybe doing some more design stuff. They've been trying to recruit a dual threat quarterback for a couple of clubs now. Austin Burton seems more to be like that sort of guy than he is the Aiden O'Connell pocket passer type of guy. So there's really not a whole lot of downside here. This is only a 2 year deal. You're taking him without a promise. So you don't really run the risk of scaring off any recruits by doing this.
Brian, I've started to lose you. Hopefully you'll come back here. Let's talk a little bit about the two high school commitments, Zach Richards from Mooresville, an offensive lineman guard. The defensive line, Cordae Sidnor from.
I'm losing.
Yeah, I don't know if I can hear you. Yeah. Why don't you disconnect there for a second? Reconnect with us if you can hear. I don't know if he's there. Okay, so Purdue gets the two commitments from high school, and Zach Richards from Mooresville and Cordae Sidnor from New York. Brian, if you're there and you can hear, what are your thoughts on Purdue picking up those two guys?
Obviously, offensive line targets outset here. You know, this is probably going to be a very tackle-heavy class after. But you still need balance. You still need. That they offer.
Hey, Brian, we're
claim to be able to break him down entirely as a player. You know, he was obviously one of Purdue's top priorities. Obviously, this is a really good year in Indiana, and Purdue's in a pretty good spot here to take advantage of that. I think this is the third state commitment already, and they're obviously going to get more. In terms of Sidnor, I don't know. Can you even hear me? Are you still there?
Hey, Brian, let's take a break here and have you disconnect and reconnect. We'll come back. We'll get your thoughts on those guys, and then talk to you a little bit about Nojel Eastern as well. So let's do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back, bring Brian back in, try to reestablish a better connection there. Not sure exactly what happened. We'll do that here coming up in a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. And you also, right now, can get carryout orders from East End Grill. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining. The energized and attentive staff is here for you. Easton Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Chartered team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217, or you can email me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Kyle Charters here. I think we're going to hit up Tom Deanhart. We have Tom. We've lost Brian to the podcast abyss. I'm not sure where he disappeared to, but obviously we lost our connection there with him. Okay, let's start off, Tom, and maybe we'll get back to Brian here toward the end of the show. Well, let's start off talking a little bit about the two grad transfers, picking up where we left off with Brian a little bit. Those two guys will, at the very least, and we're talking, of course, about the quarterback, Austin Burton, and the offensive lineman, Greg Long, from UCLA and UTEP, respectively. Those two guys, at the very least, are going to be able to fill needs in terms of depth, right?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, Brahm had made no secret of the fact he wanted to add a veteran arm to the quarterback ranks when Sinlar, of course, wasn't going to come back for that sixth year. And, you know, Burton's a guy who, you know, brings some experience. He only started one game for the Bruins, but played in about six last year. He'll have 2 years of eligibility, Kyle. I talked to him on the phone last week. He plans to get to campus in July. And, you know, honestly, it's interesting, though, he's never even visited Purdue. So he's taken a little bit of a gamble there, but his parents visited and gave him good reports. As a matter of fact, Kyle, his dad and his grandfather were terrific football players at Northwestern, and his sister currently is a great basketball player at Northwestern.
Hmm. And, sorry, I was texting with Brian. He's going to be back with us in a second. I mean, you know, those two guys, maybe not starters, right? But at the very least,
yeah,
gives Purdue a little bit more.
Exactly right. And Burton brings a little bit more, I guess, of a dual threat ability to the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Jack Plummer's got some of that. He's a good runner. Burton, a little bit shiftier, a little more athletic. Not super big, about 6 foot, 6 foot one, you know, 210, 215 pounds from Massachusetts. His dad, who again played at Northwestern, is a big time sports broadcaster out in Boston. I'm told Austin worships Tom Brady. So again, I don't suspect he's going to come in and start, but he never know. I mean, crazy things happened last year. Again, makes that position more competitive. And then up front, Kyle, you talked about Greg Long, just what the doctor ordered. You got to be a little concerned. He's really battled some injury issues at UTEP. You hope he's healthy and ready to go. And again, could be a right tackle. I mean, if he's a right tackle, that would move Bramall. Bramall's a guy we've seen take some work at center. So again, just good to have another veteran upper class body on that offensive line.
Yeah. Let's talk some NFL draft, Tom. It was this weekend, Thursday through Saturday. The big day for the Boilermakers was on Saturday. Bryson Hopkins goes the fourth round to the Rams. Marcus Bailey. I was getting worried about Marcus there for a moment, but he goes in the seventh round to Cincinnati. Anything surprise you about where those two guys went in the fourth and seventh rounds?
I don't think so. Maybe each guy went a little bit later than I would have thought. I mean, just a hair or a tick later, nothing dramatic. I thought maybe we would see Bryson Hopkins go on Friday in the second or probably the third round. It didn't happen. I think Kyle, nine tight ends went before Bryson Hopkins. No matter, you know, he's was a fourth-round pick. And going to Los Angeles, he'll be reunited with Justin Lovett, of course, the former Purdue strength and conditioning coach who just recently took a job, similar job with the L.A. Rams. And interestingly, a current Ram tight end, Tyler Higbee, played at Western Kentucky for Jeff Brohm. So these would be two Brohm-bred tight ends for the L.A. Rams. Then, of course, Marcus Bailey. Boy, didn't you wonder with his injury history, the knee injuries, the hip, didn't scare teams off. He got to stay in his home state of Ohio, go to the Bengals, first pick of the seventh round. Just a great kid who you hope can stay healthy and make that roster.
Yeah, it would be nice, certainly, if Marcus Bailey could do so. The one surprise, Tom, to me is that, you know, Purdue here in past years has had, you know, a guy or two, or in the case of last year, nobody drafted, but a handful of guys almost immediately after the draft get picked up,
yeah,
unrestricted, or should say undrafted free agents. We have not yet seen that, right?
No, I sent text right when this last pick of the draft was made, Kyle. I texted Matt McCann, Navon Mosley, Kai Higgins, and Ben Holt, and Higgins and Holt texted me back shortly thereafter. They had not heard anything yet. Of course, they're more long shots, I think. Mosley and McCann, though, I would think are going to get in camp somewhere. So, again, waiting to hear from them. And like you, scouring the internet, looking at their Twitter profiles, and have not seen them sign with anybody. I suspect something will happen here at some point. But, again, yeah, a little surprising. Like you said, Kyle, those signings usually take place moments after that draft ends.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll stand by to see if those guys do end up. I would suspect maybe if they don't sign at least rookie camp invites for those guys.
Yeah,
now,
usually
those things, though, Tom, happen immediately because those camps are almost immediately, and those camps aren't happening, right? So there's a little bit less immediacy needed for the guys who aren't signing, right?
Good point. Yeah, good point. With these facilities still closed for the NFL teams, who knows? I mean, everybody's had to make adjustments, and I'm not sure how the NFL's handling some of those free agent workouts, but we'll see. And, Kyle, a fun thing real quick before I go, on the site today, I'm going to peek ahead to 2021 NFL draft. Who from Purdue, Kyle, could be picked next year? Rondale Moore going to come out? Could he be a first-round pick? You guys like Grant Hermans, Lorenzo Neal, Derek Barnes. It'll be interesting to see, but Purdue could have several guys pick next year, you would think.
Yeah. All right, Tom, we'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Be good, buddy.
All right, let's try to get back to Brian Neubert here, who hopefully we've got a better connection with. Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
All right, let's jump back. I can. Let's jump back in and talk about the high school commitments. We could hear maybe every third or fourth word earlier. So Zach Richards from Mooresville and Cordae Sidnor from New York. First, with Richards, Mooresville, A, must have a pretty good offensive line, but he's a guy who's an offensive guard, as you were saying, maybe Purdue tending more toward tackles in this class, but Richards is a guy who Purdue has been looking at for quite a while.
Yeah, obviously it's a really good class in Indiana this year in terms of depth of Big Ten caliber sorts of prospects. And, you know, Zach Richards was one of their first priorities in the state, let alone his position. And that speaks to what Purdue, I guess, thinks it's thinks he is capable of. So, you know, it was kind of the same group of schools. Purdue's gotten a lot of offensive linemen early over the Indianas, the Illinois, the Cincinnati's. I think that's a position where Purdue would like to, you know, be competing with the probably the higher rung sorts of programs for players like they are at other positions. But obviously Zach Richards is a guy they really, really like really, really early and recruited accordingly and basically had him from hello. He was a guy who was pretty clearly coming to Purdue from the very outset of the process. Cordae Sidnor from New York, obviously Purdue's gotten a little bit of momentum going in the New York City area. Tyreek Murphy last year, Ahmad Anderson, a couple classes before that. The North Jersey area too has been good to produce. Anousi Kane as well last year. Sidnor seems like that sort of defensive lineman Purdue's looking for right now in terms of they want to be interchangeable up front on defense. They want to have guys who line up as linebackers but then can be defensive ends. They want to have guys who can line up at defensive end and move to defensive tackle. And that's what I think they're looking at him for in terms of that big athletic defensive lineman who can play end, who can play nose tackle, who can play defensive tackle, play whatever might be needed of him, depending on whatever kind of front they're in. I don't know if this 3-4 thing is going to be Purdue's base defense or if it's going to be something they sprinkle in or if it's going to be something they line up in and then kind of go multiple from there where they can kind of shift things to the line or scrimmage. I don't know. But what they want is interchangeability, and that seems like what they're getting in Cordae Sidnor.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit of basketball and the news yesterday. On Sunday of Nogel Eastern deciding to test the NBA waters. He'll do this for the second time. And, of course, he can do this three times. The third time he has to leave. Of course, he'll be a senior next year, assuming he comes back for his senior season. You have been pretty vocal over the years here, Twitter, the message board, everywhere, and, you know, the fact that guys can do this with very little, if any, downside to it. And you feel the same way about Nogel Eastern in this case, though he is a, you know, an outside shot, I think it's safe to say, is being drafted in the NBA this year and maybe ever. He still has the opportunity to go with really out penalty and look at the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's something players can do, but it's something players should do. I mean, there is literally no reason not to do this. No reason whatsoever not to do this. This is the same thing as a college kid going to a job fair a year before he graduates. And everybody who wants to make fun of people on Twitter, it's not just about being drafted in the NBA. It's about going and talking to them and, you know, obviously hearing what the NBA has to say. There's a lot of places you can play professional basketball. And this is a step toward a lot of them, too, for a lot of guys. Get your name out there. Get in front of a lot of other people. Talk to people who know what they're talking about, you know, get the feedback you need to get. And there is literally no reason to do this. I will never understand fans' impulse to eat their own online when decisions like this, I will never, as long as I live, understand that. But there is no reason whatsoever for any player to not do this. I don't know why Matt Harms didn't do this a year ago. He should have, in my opinion. Now, all of a sudden, he thinks of himself as an NBA prospect. I'm not sure why he wasn't before, but he had no reason not to do this. Travion Williams really had very little reason to not do this right now. I don't really know. Perhaps it's the uncommon circumstances of this spring and summer that he didn't, but there's really no reason whatsoever to do this, especially now when you can't even be on campus around your team. You can't even, there are no classes to miss. I mean, there's really absolutely no reason to not do this. This is a procedural issue. And if you will notice, if you think this is a huge deal, anything beyond something just procedural, there's been no announcement of this. That tells you how procedural this is. I mean, this isn't that big a deal. It is something that players really kind of owe it to themselves to do, to explore at least, because anybody with any ambition to them can get some value out of this most likely. And if they don't, then really all it was you put your name on a piece of paper, and then a couple weeks later you took your name off that piece of paper. That's really all this is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's my question for you. It's maybe a little bit bigger picture question. If he comes back next year, and we'll assume he does he play point guard? Does he play in the front court?
I don't know. I think they'll play him all over the place, personally. I think they did this year. I think it gets a little bit tricky because obviously where he absolutely positively impacts games for the better, the very sort of thing Purdue fans historically have appreciated, winning with defense. When you play him mm-hmm. at a different position away from the person you want him guarding, you have to get a little creative in terms of mixing and matching. That can afford some complications. But Purdue switches 1 through 4. You know, if you have him playing forward and you switch into historically your most ideal matchup, which would be a guard on your forward, that all of a sudden is not something people want to do anymore, because that's the worst outcome instead of the best outcome. And I think, you know, in a perfect world, you want Nojel Eastern on the ball, which would, I guess, you can do it to where you have him guarding who you want to guard. But the issue then is who does the person whose player he's guarding
right.
guard. So sometimes you have it can get kind of sticky there. But I think Purdue is going to have a more interchangeable lineup next year. I think they're going to be a little less vulnerable in switches with certain personnel groupings out there on the floor next year. But he is obviously a game changer from a defensive perspective. He has won games for Purdue with defense. Whether or not fans want to recognize that or not, I don't know. But he has. He is the best perimeter defender to me Matt Painter has ever had in terms of on the ball, off the ball, whatever it may be. And Purdue, assuming he's back next season, will want to leverage that as best it could. I thought taking him off the ball this season, to a certain extent, you know, might not have always been in Purdue's best interest, but Eric Hunter did a pretty solid job early in the season. They trusted him on the ball. They kind of used Eastern all over the place. But I think in a perfect world, you'd want him on the ball. But that doesn't mean he can't guard the ball if he's technically your forward.
Yeah. All right, Brian, we're out of time. Thank you.
Yep.
Much more on the site, too, at goldandblack.com. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. That's next on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And, of course, carryout options available right now at 6th Street Dive along with East End Grill. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. We'll be back again next Monday for the next of Golden Black Radio. Of course, be sure to listen for other drops during the week the same way that you listen to your favorite podcast. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. And thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at Remax Ability Plus, Follis, 6th Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, and Home Field Apparel. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Fan with Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.